This month, we are embarking on a journey to understand the power of and. In this either-or world in which we are living that calls us, really shapes us, informs us to pick a side and to stay in that camp and to demonize everything that's not the side that you take, Jesus leads us to embrace the power of and. For example, last week we read the Great Commandment. There were those in Jesus' day who believed that you could love God and determine who your neighbor was going to be and the type of love you were going to show. But throughout Jesus' ministry, the parable of the Great Samaritan is one powerful example that most of us have heard. Jesus says, you can't separate the love of God from the love of neighbor. One will be the fruit of the other, just depending on which perspective you're starting with, right? Sometimes the love with which you are able to demonstrate the neighbor to the neighbor shows the love with which you love God. Sometimes the love with which you love God is demonstrated tangibly in the love with which you show your neighbor. As you grow in your love of God, you grow in your ability to love and serve your neighbor, you see? And, not either or. You can't love your neighbor like God loves your neighbor without loving God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Well, today we're going to look at another saying of Jesus where he says, you are to love friend and foe. He says in this passage from Matthew 5, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Isn't that interesting? You have heard it said, you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and bless those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Let me start with a story that hits really close to home in my home. So, and this isn't from my own household, but it resonates deeply with me. So there was a father who was going away on a multi-day business trip and leaving his young bride to care for their two small children. He told his oldest son on the way out, worried about the extra load and weight it was going to place on his wife, hey, I need you to help your mom this week. Whatever I would do, I want you to do. And so the father went away. And when he came home, he asked his wife, well, how was your week? How did our son help you around the house? And she said, you know, it was the strangest thing. He just poured cup after cup of coffee, turned up some loud music, and went and sat and read the paper for 3 hours every day. Now, what the father had in mind was help rinse the dishes and put them in the dishwasher. You know, maybe help sweep the floors or clean up after the dog. Which clearly, the child did not understand the assignment. Or maybe he did. He did what he had seen and experienced from his father. That's what Jesus says in this passage. He has come to represent his father, to make visible who his father in heaven is, so that we could know the heart of the father himself. And so Jesus calls us to do the same when he says, be perfect in love. That's the implication, therefore, as your Father is perfect. Just as Jesus sought to live according to his Father's will, we are called to live after the example of Jesus. In all of our lives, in all of our relationships, we should reflect the very heart of God toward us, toward the world. Quote all the time, John 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his son into the world to, what, condemn the world. He didn't do that. But that the world might be, what, saved through him. That's why Jesus came, not to condemn, but to save, because God so loved his friends. The world, right? Even those who do not yet love in return. That is the crux of this passage today. Jesus says, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and bless those who persecute you. Love friend and foe." You know, reading the social media comments after the, I wouldn't recommend reading the comments on social media, y'all, but I do sometimes because it gives a real idea of the spirit of, well, our society, the world, right? You get a real idea, like people show their true colors on social media. They won't say it to your face, right? But they'll say it publicly in your thread so that everyone knows. It's the craziest thing. But I have seen hatred spewed and shared like verbal grenades in ways that blow up relationships, make people feel unsafe, divide one person from another. Elections tend to do that. If you read my newsletter article in this week's newsletter, I reflected on that, right? Our political system teaches us to choose a side. No matter where our real politics fall, there are really two sides to choose from. There are other parties, but there's really, it's red or blue. And so we pick, and then we cast our vote, and then we either feel despair or grief if we're on the losing side, or we feel elation and joy if we're on the winning side. And the call of Christ for us as Christians, that we are about 50-50 here at First Methodist. I'd wager to say probably half of us voted blue and half voted red. I hope you voted at all, right? Because what an awesome right on this Veterans Day, the eve of Veterans Day, that we get to exercise because we're free to do that, right? But that doesn't give us license to destroy and devour one another. We in the church are called to follow a more excellent way. And that's what this series is all about. And Luke's telling of this same passage, Jesus gives the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And judging from the way I've seen Christians talking to other Christians, I would wager to say that they wouldn't want to be spoken to like that or judged in the way that Christians are judging one another. Jesus is presenting a whole new ethic here in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, in Matthew's gospel, Matthew is writing to a primarily Jewish audience. Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount to show that this sermon has the importance that the giving of the Ten Commandments did to Moses in the Old Testament. This sermon is about who Jesus is, first and foremost. Before it's about us, it's really about Jesus. Jesus is saying, this is my manifesto. This sermon will tell you what I am all about. He's preaching to Jews. Jews at the time were called and set apart, chosen by God for a particular purpose in the world. But that particular purpose wasn't to be God's favorite. God chose them, sure, but for a particular reason. Not to favor them while leaving the rest of the world in darkness, but to shine light through the people of Israel to draw all nations to God. They were to be a light in the darkness of the world, not to leave the world in darkness. The time that Jesus lived was a particularly difficult time in the nation of Israel. There were divisions just galore. There were factions, there were violent insurrections and uprisings. All of that was present in the society at Jesus' time. And what Jesus does here in Matthew in preaching the Sermon on the Mount is he even redefines the biblical ethics that had guided the people of God to that point. The Old Testament would say, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If someone harms you, takes your eye, you should take theirs. You're even, Stephen, no need to fight anymore. That was the Old Testament biblical ethic. But Jesus says, You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn the other also. So what Jesus is saying in turn the other cheek, it's not, sometimes I think we hear this and we think, oh, well, we're just supposed to walk away. No, what Jesus means, if they slap you on the left cheek, you turn so that they can also slap you on the right cheek, and you do nothing in retaliation. You stand there and you receive it. You don't return evil for evil, and you don't give what that person deserves in that moment to receive. You don't slap them back because they slapped you. That's the new ethic that Jesus is lifting up here. Wow. How can anyone have that kind of inner strength to stand and take it? You know, I'm reminded of the prophecy that's pointed to in Isaiah about Jesus' own crucifixion and death. It's like a sheep that was led to the slaughter. He did not even open his mouth. He took on the sins of the world there on that cross so that they could be removed from us as far as the east is from the west. Right? That's our Jesus, isn't it? And so if someone slaps you on the left cheek, you turn and you let them slap you on the right, and you keep going with your head held high, knowing that you are demonstrating the unwavering, unfailing, unconditional love of God to that person who's seeking to do harm to you. That's what Jesus says. Then he goes one deeper. He says, if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And Jesus' day is payment from the poor extracted from somebody with means, say it was a loan that couldn't be repaid as quickly as the terms specified. People would take the other, the one owing the debt, to court, and the punishment would be, well, you don't have any money to give, give your coat. And Jesus says, if they take your coat, give them your underwear too. There's a story about St. Francis, whose prayer attributed to him, that we prayed today. One of my favorite, I can remember as a child in my United Methodist Church in Bay City praying the prayer of St. Francis. And it did a work in me as a young kid. That's still one of my favorite prayers today. He did not, his father had a plan for him, and he decided he wanted to live amongst those who were materially poor to help improve the conditions for them. And so he stood before his father in the public square, and really he was made to be mocked. You know, how could you? You're born with a silver spoon, and you're going to leave all of this. And it said, the legend goes, that Francis stripped down naked in public and handed over his clothes to his dad and walked away from the life that he could have had, right? I'm reminded of that story and what Jesus says here. It says, instead of seeking to get retaliation, show what the person taking you to court is really doing, taking away your very means of survival. You don't have money to give, and that person seeking to take the very clothes off your back. Those are the ethics that Jesus is showing here. If they take your coat, give them your inner garments as well. Really interesting. Third, he says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. So there was a law in the Roman occupation of Jesus' time that if a Roman soldier compelled you to carry his bag or his weapons or his helmet or whatever, then you had to do it, and you had to do it up to a mile and no more. And so Jesus, using the example of this oppression that was going on in society, and said, look, if you're compelled to carry somebody's stuff a mile, go the extra mile and carry it, go one better, even two better. Because in doing more than what's expected, you are going to be a witness to that person who demanded that of you. If you haven't been watching The Chosen in this last season, that is demonstrated in one of the episodes, and I would commend it to you. It's really a powerful scene where the Roman soldiers after a mile are like, okay, you can really give us our stuff back. They're like, no, we're good. We're going to carry it all the way to where you're going. And they just keep doing it. And the Roman soldiers at the end are just humbled. I mean, at first that they were so prideful and vindictive. And by the end, they were like, why would you do this? You know, and the headline is because we follow him. And that's what he demands of us. And so we do it. Those are the ethics and the ways in which we show love in a tangible way to those who seek to make life really, really miserable for us. I think the bottom line of this passage and what Jesus is saying when he says love neighbor and love enemy, right? Love friend, those, and these are labels, right? We've had to label someone neighbor and then we have to label someone enemy. And what I think Jesus is really saying here is act in such a way that you're not labeling anybody anymore. God causes the sun and the rain to shine and to fall upon both the righteous and the unrighteous alike. God seeks the good of all people, even despite their worst behavior. And so should you and I. That's what Jesus is saying here. And so, church, we have a job to do. We have been given a vocation, work. We are to shine light. We are to be a people who bring division together. We are to demonstrate Christ's reconciling love. We are to be one. And we are to demonstrate God's will and God's way in a divided country and a divided culture. That is the call of Jesus. He calls us to an impossible standard. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Did you know that that's one of the distinctives of Wesleyan Methodist theology? We believe that we are moving on toward perfection in love. Whenever one of us is ordained as a pastor, we are asked, do you expect to be made perfect in love in this life? And we have to respond, yes, by the grace of God. We believe that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, but if we don't chase after God's perfect love with everything we've got, we can never hope to take hold of it. And here's the headline, friends. In heaven, we will love perfectly because we will see and experience God perfectly. So why shouldn't we strive for it here and now to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect? Or as Jesus says in Luke, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. And so, friends, what this looks like as I close is demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit at all times, no matter how somebody is greeting you or interacting with you. You demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit in return: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. When you do that, that shows the fruit of the faith that you have in your heart and the strength of your relationship with your Father in heaven. So let us strive not to label people friend or foe, but to love as God loves us. Let us, as we sang about in our first hymn, kneel at the feet of those who seek to persecute us in prayer, taking the towel and washing their feet, offering the bread and the wine of reconciliation, so that we might be as Jesus to others and work toward a world that is united in God's love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, friends, thank you.